Looks like you need a vacation. Enter the 5-Hour Energy Where Will the Tide Take You sweepstakes. You could win a $10,000 dream beach vacation. Imagine jet setting off to a tropical paradise, having fun in the sun, or diving at a gorgeous reef. It's up to you. No purchase necessary. Go to 5hetide.com for official rules and to enter. That's 5hetide.com. Enter today. Ends June 30th, 2024.
Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99 cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Kool-Aid Drinkers! We are back, baby!
Oh yeah!
After a dominant 26-14 victory over the Raiders on Monday Night Football in Detroit, the first one in 5 years, and a much different team than that team that took field that night 5 years ago. Boy, have times changed in Detroit. As the Lions take a 26-14 victory over the Raiders, I'm Big Z. Let's get to the other Bukule crew before we get diving into this game. We got UJ.
Hey, Kool-Aid drinkers.
And Red Dog.
Yo!
I think I forgot to mention I'm Big Z. But yeah, it's just a big victory for the Lions, and I just want to dive right into it. It was the coming out party nationally, too, for Jahmyr Gibbs. 26 carries, 152 yards, 5.8 average. It felt higher.
Right.
One touchdown, that beautiful touchdown run. And also five catches for 37 yards. So 31 touches in total for Jahmyr Gibbs tonight. Just
beautiful.
All over the field. His over.
Did he pay for that front row seat? That's what I want to know.
Yeah, I've never seen someone go into the crowd.
He actually was in there, like
that girl, like kind of yanked him up there.
Yeah, her husband had that.
She was strong
on his face. Hey, what are you doing? But,
and this was behind an offensive line that had none of our three starters in the interior. The two guards and the center all out.
Yep,
our starting guards. So just a great job, by the. The backups coming in and playing their ass off for this team in tough circumstances. No, the Raiders defense is horrible, but I mean, they still got a job. It's still an NFL defense, nonetheless.
Yeah.
But man, I mean, I think the thing I like about Gibbs is that like he's starting to get that, like he's starting to just understand like how to read a hole better in the NFL and his patience, yeah, and just the vision, that's the word I was looking for. The vision, his vision has definitely gotten better. Now it helped like he wasn't being hit in the backfield right away or anything like that. The line got a great push to allow him that opportunity. But still, just a great game.
I got a slight theory on that, Z.
Yeah,
you know they've been using him sparingly since they got him, since the beginning of the year. But last week they had to lean on him. Yeah, it was a crushing defeat, but they leaned on him pretty heavily, and he actually had a good game. And I think he finally realized that he can play in this league. I think just keep feeding him the ball, get hit a few times, and, you know, all of a sudden, whatever, you know, butterflies he had in his stomach or whatever, they're gone. And then he came into this game just, like, full of confidence. Like, you can see the way he's running now. He's just so confident. And I think he finally – it might have taken six games, whatever, seven games to achieve that, but I think he's got it now, and he's going to be a dangerous runner from here on out, I'm telling you.
And that touchdown run just was like that showed you everything you wanted to see out of him. The cut, the vision, and then just the absolute burning speed to the outside. Like there's a lot of running backs in this league. They're not going to be able to turn that into a touchdown. He's one of the rare ones with that speed on the outside. Just a lot of fun. Even that one pass, he caught it on the left side Then he cut it over the middle, even past his blockers, but he's so fast he outran all the defenders to get like a 12-yard catch for a first down. So yeah, I mean, this is just awesome. But I mean, Rud Dog, who do you want to point out? Do you have anything else on Gibbs?
I mean, it was everything we've been waiting to see. I told UJ in the first half, you watch, they keep beating him, he's gonna break out for some, and he really did. It's just so exciting to see. Like, you guys all nailed most of it, but it's just comfortability, like just getting used to the speed, to the nature of the gaps and what things are, and you guys all said. But yeah, he just looked comfortable, and his confidence really just bubbled out in that as the game wore on, and so freaking awesome.
And also Craig Reynolds, 14 carries for 74 yards. The Lions had 222 yards on the ground in this game. Absolute dominant. And Craig Reynolds looked really good too. But again, it all starts at the offensive line. Thank God both tackles are in there at least. But even our starting left guard ended up getting hurt, and Dan Skipper came in to play left guard later in the game.
I think the touchdown was scored on the next play.
Yeah. Hey, here's a shout out to maybe the greatest free agent signing of last season is Graham Glasgow. Mm-hmm. How valuable has he been?
Absolutely.
Amazing. Yeah. He played center today. Mm-hmm. Wow.
And the Lions a great time for a bye week with all the injuries they have on this team right now.
No way. No kidding.
With three interior offensive line down and the defensive line hurting too. It's a good time.
I think this was Dan Campbell's penance game after last week where he had to say 20 Hail Marys. In this case, he had to like kick 5 field goals.
And I had the over. I had Detroit Lions over 26.5, and Riley Patterson misses that 30.
Oh my god, really?
Unbelievable. Like,
that is unbelievable.
Like, last week we don't kick like any field goals, and then this week we kick like 5. It's
4. He missed one.
Was it only 4? Okay.
He made 4. He was 4-4-5. Yeah.
Yeah, so we kicked 5 field goals. So, I mean, like, it's just kind of funny because, like, I feel like there was even one time, too, where I felt like, oh, I wanted to go for it, but Dan settled for the field goal. It's just like, maybe it's just showing us all he learned his lesson from last week.
Right.
Yeah. Well, it was a little disappointing.
Changed that game, but
it was a little disappointing, our red zone play calling in this game, I will say. That kept the Raiders hanging around for a while in this game. A good team, that's not going to turn out well.
Hanging around, is that the right word for it? Because I never felt like they were in
that
game.
It was a 2-score game still.
I know, but it's still, maybe it's just me, but like, I just never got nervous. It never felt like the Raiders really.
No, I'm not saying we got nervous. I'm just, they hung around, though.
You, Dave, was getting pretty nervous.
I'm always nervous. I've been watching the Lions for like 60 years, okay? It's in my blood.
Even after the pick six, I even said, I bet they don't even get the lead ever. Like, I bet they still never give up the lead. And, like, it just never felt like the Lions were really ever. Like, it felt like, okay, if they really wanted to and, like, started having, like, an absolute comedy of errors, they might have lost that game. But it just didn't ever feel like they should have even
been close. I mean, I agree. I mean, without the pick six, it's even a bigger blowout. It's a little deceiving a score in that regard. Like, I mean, just complete dominance. I mean, Jimmy Garoppolo had 126 yards, and they had 80 yards on the ground. So 157 total yards to the Lions, 486.
Well, did you see the yardage differential? I think 329 yards, the total yardage differential between the two teams.
Right.
Which is the second highest, I believe, of this season, if I'm not mistaken. But
wow.
Yeah, 329 yard differential. That's insane.
Yeah, and the Lions fumbled the ball twice and threw a pick six, and they still dominated this game and won by double digits. So
Kirby finally broke his cold streak on the picks, though. Mm-hmm. That was good.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, since we're mentioned, I mean, we can talk about some other things in offense, but I mean, just a dominant defensive performance all around. Six
sacks. Other than one drive.
Yeah. And none of them by Hutch, unfortunately.
None by Hutch. No,
Hutch looked frustrated.
He had to be frustrated.
Double teamed constantly.
Oh,
double teamed.
Oh my god!
He got pancaked a couple times.
Did
too,
you see the one?
Yeah,
it was like
we're talking
where
about
he got
one. We're thinking
myrtleized,
about
where he was like teed up on the outside and like someone came out and just cleaned him up? Like,
yeah, he tried a big like, upfield rush, then tried to spin back in. And yeah, these offensive linemen, I mean, Hutch, he used that spin constantly, probably a little too much at times.
Yeah.
But he got blasted for it in this regard.
He got blasted.
The guard was just like full steam ahead and saw it coming like a mile away.
He ran from a long way into that. That was a lot of momentum. I was like, is he alive?
Yeah, still two quarterback hits for Hutch though. But Aleem McNeil looked beastly.
Oh my gosh, he looked
in the middle
good.
Of this game.
What a game he had!
Couple sacks from him, two sacks from Anzalone, one from Walker, a lot, and one from Julian Okwara.
Julian, baby, that was a big one by Julian at the time.
It was
a really good time.
It was, and I mean, the Lions blitzed a ton tonight. They blitzed a ton, probably because they had a quarterback in the backfield for the Raiders that can't move more than like a yard to his right or left. He's extremely stationary. It is not the type of quarterback that's killed the Lions, that's for sure.
And our strategy tends to seem to be, let's see if you can beat us with your arm. And man, he could not.
No, he cannot. I mean, even at the end there, they could have got it down to one score if he hits Devontae Adams, because I mean, he couldn't be any more open, which confuse me. What kind of defense are they in when they just need to like not allow them to get a big play?
Right.
Anyway. You know what? Does anyone else see Devontae Adams getting angry on the sideline and think like, you know, if the Lions were just to be like, hey, you don't even have to leave today. Like, here's a couple draft picks to the Raiders, and now we're on our team.
Well, like, they'd have to pay him. That's probably the bigger issue there.
I mean, okay. Like, I'm just saying, you can, you know, maybe do some cat magic, whatever, but if you add Devontae Adams to our offense, like, that might just be the capstone that makes this thing just truly lethal. Like, and I don't see us having any problem scoring in the red zone at their at. Like, him across from, like, Reynolds on the outside with J-Mo. Oh, my God, there's too many possibilities, and that would be ridiculous. It would take us to another level. Goff would be able to, much better connection with him than those guys.
Yeah. Speaking of J-Mo, there was a J-Mo sighting today.
There was a sighting.
He made a catch.
He had two catches, technically. The other one he got blasted on by Max Crosby. But
Oh, yeah, right.
No, that wasn't.
And he had one he should have caught, probably. That was not the easiest catch, but he probably should have.
Yeah, it's technically a catch on the jet sweeps when they pitch it forward. It's technically a throw.
Yeah,
a catch.
Shovel pass.
Yeah, he read that one. But the other one was really nice. I was waiting for the big bomb as part of, like, you know, the Monday night coming out party, but it was a good game in that regard.
The one he caught, and like, he was like, if he kept his balance, that was a touchdown.
Yeah, that was a close one.
But at least it was a first down. It was a good play.
Yeah, it's got a little shout out here, though. In the early in the game when it was a struggle, you know, when the both teams were still fresh legs and Oakland was playing as hard, you know, Oakland, Vegas. Raiders, what did we do to get ourselves going? Who did we go to? Amon Ross.
Baby.
I mean, he's just like, just go to him. Stud. Just go to him. Yep. And he was a stud in that first half, man. Oh, my God, was he good. Playing sick, sore throat, probably chewing Tums while he's, you know, or, you know, Halls or something while he's running down the field.
That one play where he caught the, it was like a crossing route or whatever, and he managed to cross the cornerback's face to the sideline and turn it up for like an extra 15 yards was so ridiculous. He put on the absolute jets, ran with all his speed. You could see like he every bit of body control to turn that up the sidelines instead of like careening into the bench, and like just excellent. You know, just display of athletic ability. Yeah. What absolute stud.
Yeah, I mean, he's just constantly extremely fun to watch. And again, I mean, it starts with a clean pocket. So the Lions are just enough there at times to allow Goff to help get those plays to develop.
Hey, let me ask you a question on this. You know, on that interception pick six, I was theorizing that it looked like that was just a miscommunication because Amon Ra cut up field and Goff threw it outside. I think he might have been thinking St. Brown was going to stay to the sideline there and said he turned up. That's what I was saying, but some people think he was just trying to throw it away and didn't do a good job of it. And
it kind of looked like that.
I don't know. What do you guys think?
I didn't think he was trying to throw it away. If he was, then that was one of the worst throwaways of all time. I don't think he's trying to throw it away. I would agree with you, Jay. There's some sort of miscommunication, or he just made the wrong read. But it did not look like he was trying to throw it away.
Yeah.
Horrible pass.
I don't think he was trying to throw it away either, because that would have been, like you said, that would be stupid. I think he just threw it, made a bad read. But, man, it was a bad read.
Yeah, I mean, the Lions had all the momentum in the world that killed. I mean, they responded, which is good. But
this game, though, just like, I still just feel so weird how, like, can you imagine being that team? Like, watching them, their impotent rage.
They were
like,
that team.
I know. Yeah, I guess you can imagine. Their impotent rage as like, we just give up 3 turnovers and they can't do shit about it. It never felt like they had a chance to win that game, even when they were only down 2 points
at halftime. At halftime, Jimmy G had 3 completions for 17 yards, none to a wide receiver.
That was probably the peak of their did they have a chance when they finished that drive just running down our throat. Did feel a little bit like, okay, wow, but like, you just knew our defense wasn't going to just keep letting that happen.
No.
And man, it was just kind of nice to see a dominant yet super sloppy performance.
It was a sloppy game despite the dominance. Yeah. I would definitely agree with that. I mean, the turnovers are just killer. 2 fumbles. Although the Craig Reynolds one, I didn't love the call, because it looked like he's in a pile of bodies and the ball just pops out at the end.
Yeah.
Did you see the front part? Call. The front one where you could see under the pile. Like, clearly by the time the ball's coming out, his legs are pinned.
And don't they sink these things? Like, his legs are clearly on the ground first before any of the rest of his body.
That's sure what it looks like.
Yeah, very, very. I just don't know how they rule that a fumble on the field.
That's the thing. Like, if you rule it on the field, that's the only way I could see that turning into a fumble. But like,
well, I think these referees now, they're more prone to just call it whatever it is on the field when they see the fumble, just call it a fumble, knowing that they're going to do the replay and they'll just correct it if it's wrong. So you know what I'm saying? They'll just make the call that they see. And I think they're prone to do that. Even like a touchdown or whatever, they'll just call it, knowing that, well, they're gonna get corrected if it's wrong or anyway. So
yeah.
But and in this case, they didn't.
And the nature of a fumble like that where the ball's just out, like, and the whistle hasn't blown yet and stuff, like what are you gonna say? If you don't call it a fumble, then it's not a turnover, not a review. Like, I think you gotta, like, just what does it seem like, right? Like, it happened early enough in the play where he might have still been not down. So I don't know. I honestly, again, like, I was unperturbed by all of this. It was nice. Like, I just felt like, I just don't see the Lions losing this team. We were too much better.
It's kind of amazing that the Raiders have 3 victories. it's kind of astounding.
It is.
I mean, they beat the Packers. Who did
they win with their quarterback in those games? Were they Jimmy G?
Yeah, he was. Yeah, yeah. All their wins were Jimmy G. Patriots, Packers, and the Broncos are the 3 teams they beat this year.
To be fair, like, it did just feel like tonight was our night, because they couldn't hit at all. Like, he missed.
Oh yeah, Devonta and Fort Field was absolutely electric. Like, we all knew it would be.
It was.
I want to be there so badly. Connor was there tonight.
You could hear it so clearly through, like, the TV speaker.
Can you imagine a home playoff game in Ford Field?
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, my gosh. I can't even imagine.
Crazy.
Woo!
Well, we can imagine.
Excited already.
Oh, man.
It's great being 6-2 going into the bye, too. Hopefully this 2 weeks will give us time to get some of our guys back that we've been missing. So.
Well, that's what today felt like, too. Like, we're beat up. Like, this has been a long stretch, you know, like, we're ready for this bye. Like, it is still good to see Branch out there again. He's kind of been a little more quiet, but I did kind of notice him a few times.
Yes, I got on team and tackles, so.
Yeah.
Did he lead the team in tackles?
He did. He led the team in tackles.
Wow. That was
Anzalone did.
I was going to say, he would have been my guess.
I think
good.
I think Tracy Walker kind of stood out today too.
Yeah, six tackles.
Nice sack.
He had a nice game. He seemed to be all over the place. He's playing with a lot of vengeance, fury. I don't know, something.
He's really back to what he was before.
Yeah,
and now maybe even better. Because our secondary looked pretty good overall. I'd say they were pretty sticky and
for the most part, yeah.
Though Sutton did get, Devonta Adams was trying to do whatever he could to try to help get his team an advantage. So, he's one of the best receivers. So,
he dropped an easy one, too, over the middle for a first down for them.
Well, he did. The one that hit him in, the hip.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. You can just tell they didn't have it today.
No.
No. And the Lions had a great, a solid game plan. Ben Johnson made some weird play calls tonight, especially in the red zone. But he actually had the right read on the Amon Ra one. Amon Ra was blind as a bat, I guess, to the wide open receiver in the end zone.
Oh, yeah. I know. What was that about?
And at the very least, Amon Ra, if you're not going to throw it, then just throw it out of bounds. It's a pass play. It's not it's not a run play. Don't lose 8 yards.
Can't believe you didn't see that. Yeah.
We actually have a question from a listener here, Charlie. Do you guys trust Riley Patterson to make a 43-yarder in the Super Bowl for the win?
It's a good question. Even when he hit that 52-yarder, that was a knuckleball, baby.
You saw his reaction on the telecast, right? He's like, whoa.
Riley's our dude. Of course I trust him.
I don't know.
A 43-yarder. He's been a pretty good kicker this year.
He's been
inside
pretty
50 yards. So
though the one he missed today was probably the easiest one.
I know.
Cost Big Z some money there.
He did.
Though you could argue that holding call might have cost more.
Yeah. He's 11 of 13 on the year kicking. So but two of those missed the last 2 weeks. The Lions were never thrilled about him being the kicker either. They're just kind of do we go with the people that can kick a little farther but less accurate overall, or do we just go with the guy that's more reliable from 45 and in? So
it's a tough call.
I don't know, but the Lions have had long time kickers miss big kicks in their history, so maybe we need a guy that is not a long time kicker.
We talk about Eddie Murray again.
Eddie Murray. Jason Hansen, didn't he miss a kick too? A pretty big kick.
He probably missed a couple too. Yeah. Not one as big as Eddie Murray missed.
Well, no.
You weren't even born.
Maybe
then,
he could come out of retirement UJ and redeem himself this playoff run.
I cried that day. I cried.
I like Riley though. I think he's one of the guys. I think I'm fine with him. I trust him. He's reliable in the more important ways, like consistency. Hey, look, he popped the 53-yarder through today. So that's not bad.
Yeah, and he's 50%, I believe, now in a year from the over 50 yards. And the last one, in Tampa, I think that was the one he missed. It was over 50 yards, but he blasted that one to the moon. So he can get it there. It just has to be perfect. It's definitely less consistent than that of a Justin Tucker.
Sure. Just keep practicing.
Yeah, Broderick Martin got a tackle tonight too.
Good to see him. I didn't know he's in. Nice.
I didn't notice that either. I didn't either.
I just read the box score, so I know he's active.
That's good. I'm glad he's active. I was surprised that he sat Bugs in this one. I was kind of surprised.
Maybe he's hurt, or maybe they just need to rest him.
Yeah, unclear.
I don't know. Enrique sat. Bugs sat.
He's hurt, right? And Enrique isn't hurting.
Do you think it's like?
I don't think he was.
No,
was he on the? I don't think he was on the injury list. I think they just.
That's a.
Do you think in the league, the Lions could actually be look, we can handle the Raiders. We'll bench some of these other guys, or not bench, but deactivate a few of these guys to start their bye week now type thing. Is that crazy to think? You take that's you risk underestimating opponent like that, like. Like, because honestly, looking at the way we played the Raiders tonight, I would have been mad if they were it doesn't seem unreasonable that they might have been do we need Bugs? Let's keep him fresh, get his give him a 3-week bye week type thing. Hmm. I don't know. Maybe that's silly.
You guys know the last time the Lions went 6-2 to start the season? Do you remember?
Oh, no.
1957.
No, wasn't it when your big bet year when we with Sean Rodgers
the year before we went
0-16? It was that year, right? Like 2004
or 3? No. 2014.
Oh, 2014.
Yeah, first year of Jim Caldwell.
That was a good year. Our defense was studly that year.
Yep. Lost 24-20 in the playoffs with the Bannon Pettigrew pass interference.
Yep.
Oh, yeah. God, if only we didn't have Joel Lombardi.
That was a really good defense.
And a really good offense, just with a terrible offensive coordinator.
Right.
Right. Oh, well.
Man, Theo Riddick was such a good player for us that year and getting us wins. I think him and Stafford's connection was maybe more important to getting those comebacks half the time than
Calvin's. So what do you guys think of this this love of the Lions now, the national press has?
The announcers were loving them all game. It was nice. They showed Spielman, too. That was nice.
You know,
did you like his Wayne Font story too, UJ?
Yes, I did like the Wayne Font story. This guy, he'd call practice early, go out and smoke a cigar, go fishing or something. I don't know. Whatever the story was.
He said he's the Pro Bowl coach, and they just had to show up for 10 minutes to make their appearance,
that's what it was.
To say they practice. And then he said, I got a tea time to go to.
Yeah, that was a great story. That was Font, though, man. He was a cool guy. He was a good coach.
And then he had a lot of love for Spielman, too. So that was cool. I like Aikman a lot. I've always liked him, especially in the last 5 years. He's kind of said, I'm not going to get fired. I could kind of freely say whatever I want on these broadcasts.
You know, I agree with you, Z. I think he's grown a lot as an announcer.
A ton.
I think he's pretty good, yeah.
Who are you talking about?
Troy Aikman. But Buck and Aikman both I like a lot because they've been working together 20 years, so they have that rapport.
Yeah, I think they're pretty good. I do.
Yeah.
Better than Collinsworth.
Oh, Tickle Rip. Tickle Rip is saying they saw Hutch and Max Crosby switch jerseys at the end of the game. Could this mean something? Crosby and Detroit. Oh, if only. If only Tickle Rip.
Oh, my God. Why do keep people that keeps just teasing?
That's what I keep saying. Crosby, let's get whatever it takes.
Let's keep him from getting on the plane.
Him and Hutch on the same team would be the most ridiculous.
Can there be a Golden Tate, the blizzard comes in and they snowed in and then they convince him to stay? This is not a free agency visit, unfortunately.
What would we have to give up to get him, though?
Two first rounders, I'm guessing. I mean,
franchise foundational piece.
He has 4 year. He's on a 4 year, $96 million contract. That's super cheap for a top tier defensive end. I think he's got 3 years remaining on it, so at least a couple of years to go.
Where did they pick him at? What round?
Fourth round.
He's a 102nd pick, I believe, in the draft, something like that.
Third round. But either way, what a steal. He's a beast.
Wow, no kidding.
See the tattoo on his back? They showed a picture of it, but.
Yeah, that tattoo.
His entire back is a tattoo.
What do you have? Michael Jordan, Kobe Bryant,
Muhammad Ali, and then his daughter.
His daughter.
Hopefully, he doesn't have another kid. Back over there.
That would be an interesting like a look with Hutch and him on either side. They're both monsters, but you'd have the cornbread white Hutch, and then the all tatted up Crosby. That would be an interesting. Yin and yang.
But Crosby would be a total culture fit here, too.
Holy shit, though. Oh, my
God. He's a really good guy.
It's like a total fantasy, though. I hate when we start getting into it, because it's it's not going to happen.
Well, what's wrong with having a little fantasy?
Oh, my God.
Come on.
Yeah. But I think Devonta's a more reasonable fantasy, but even that's probably still a stretch. But I just think we got to do something. I feel like we...
They're not going to go wide receiver. I don't think they need to.
I don't think so either.
Chase Young and Montez Sweat are fetching, or they're seeking second round.
A second rounder, that's.
I would consider a second rounder.
For one of those guys?
It's tough.
For what?
It's tough. I mean, it's a rental. I don't see the Lions going more than a third, in my opinion.
Are they both
rentals? Just the way I'm guessing how Brad Holmes operates. I don't see them giving it more than a third for anybody on the market. Unless it's a guy with multiple years of control, like maybe a Patrick Sertan. Like if they said, you're first for Sertan, sure. But, I mean, it's It's not going to happen.
He's fetching like multiple first games. Those foundational guys are going to fetch massive.
Well, especially if they have multiple years on their contract. So
yeah,
it's like, yeah, exactly. And these, because you got to think, these teams that are selling these guys are selling them because they need resources to build their team, like their whole right. team. So they're going to want a lot and for these guys who are that good.
And I say we give them a first rounder this year and a third rounder next year.
For who?
Crosby.
Oh, my God.
I mean, they're not going to do it. That makes no sense from the Raiders' standpoint.
No, they need him. He's foundation.
He's literally the only guy that's playing defense for them.
Like, think about it. We had a draft Hutch at 2 to get a guy like that. They got him in the 4th round.
And for pretty cheap. Third round. But for, 4 years, $96 million. Nick Bosa just signed a $200 million contract. And I would argue they're not that different in value. So.
When did he get drafted?
Right now, I'm fairly certain it's third round.
No, not I didn't mean third round. I meant year
2019.
Yeah.
Oh, so he's a few years older than Hutch.
Would you rather have had him or Hockenson at 8?
Well, wait.
Would you rather have him or Jelani Tavai in the second round?
Oh my God.
Ortiz table.
It's funny how my memory just puts those things like away somewhere. Like, oh my God, I forgot about the things.
Wait,
we
would
did
you rather have him or Will Harris in the third round?
Oh, Will Harris every day, baby. I just remembered randomly Willie Young the other day.
He went 106. It was the fourth round. It was the fourth round. Do you know who got picked right in front of him in the fourth round to the Saints?
Wait, oh, okay.
No.
C.J. Gardner-Johnson.
Wow.
How about that for back-to-back picks?
No kidding.
Fourth round. And I then all-pro punter Mitch Wishnowsky to the fourth round and to the 49ers. Two picks.
Mitch Wishnowsky? Mm-hmm. Wow.
So do we target anybody at the trading deadline here, Big Z? What do you think?
Ooh, I mean, you got to get somebody. They need depth. They just need a little depth.
I think so,
I think
too.
They go, Tickle Rapier is saying Jonathan Allen and Kendall Fuller for Charles Harris. That'd be great. Jonathan Allen would be a lot of fun. D-tackle. Charles Harris still plays, right, for the Lions?
I heard we were, trading him or something. What's going on with him?
Not much. He's been invisible lately.
I mean, that's fine. We got let Julian Aquara keep playing. I guess he's starting to actually flash.
Yeah, how about
he
that?
Is. He is.
Consistently. I don't know. Like, Jonathan Allen, holy crap, put him next to Liam on the inside. That could be enough to get us to the next level. Holy crap.
That would be good. I don't know if you saw Leonard Williams of the Giants went to the Seahawks today for
I did
second
see that.
And a fifth rounder. So.
A second and a fifth. That's not a bad deal for the Seahawks. I
would have done it for Lions.
Yeah.
He's a baby. Like,
make a move like that. Just
that guy's a good player, man. He's a good player.
I want us to just make a move because it's fun to make moves.
It is fun to make moves. Yeah. It's fun to develop draft picks, though, like the Lions have been doing, too. I mean, their whole draft class is, elemental to this team.
Yeah, well, as great as Holmes has been, though, he hasn't been in this position yet where we're buyers at the deadline. So, how's he going to act? This is a new thing we're seeing now. Okay. We haven't seen Holmes in this position yet. So what's he going to do? I don't know. It'd be interesting to see if he has something up his sleeve here.
He's been pretty bold in certain ways, like getting CJ GJ and when he wants a guy
off season. Yes.
Right, but no, buyers in the middle of the season we haven't seen, and I'm very curious. Cause, I mean, it's also hard to totally project the market, I feel like, because you don't know who's even technically all available because it's trades and not, free agency. Like, you don't know who they've scouted on some team and, created a whole relationship just to kind of work their way in for that potentiality when... to see if they were sellers at the deadline.
So, I mean, the NFL is in a place where they love to be, where almost every team is in the playoff hunt. There's only a few teams that are not. I would say the Giants, Bears, Panthers, Cardinals, Patriots.
Yeah. Redskins.
I mean, even the Commanders are really
They're really a game out.
3-5 But they did. There was reports coming out that said they wanted to see how this last game against the Eagles went before they decided to be sellers since they lost that game. It seems like they're trending that way. They have new ownership.
Yeah,
they did lose, but they did put up a fight. Like they scored a lot. But I mean, you also know that that defensive line that was supposed to be the foundation of their rebuild isn't tenable long term because you can't pay all those guys either. So you could turn them into resources to start the new rebuild.
Right. I mean, Chase Young or Sweat is going to be gone, and Chase Young's been the lesser performer of the two thus far in Washington. So I'd imagine that if they did trade one, to be Chase Young. But how much you give up?
I've heard Allen's even on the block too.
I'd
give up maybe a third or fourth. No, I wouldn't give up a first or second.
I'd say fourth.
Yeah. I'd probably lean that way too.
Fourth?
For one of those guys.
We can finally get Chase Young to the Lions. Like we
always I'd have no problem with a third, I feel like. If they feel like one of those guys are going to be a significant, you know, addition at this point, I know we're good at developing draft picks, but that being said, we are good at selling draft picks, and if we're not, you know, breaking the bank and trading away a first rounder,
well, let me tell you this: the Lions could get it back if, like Aaron Glenn was to get hired as a head coach, a minority hire gets you an extra compensatory pick in the draft.
Oh wow!
So I mean, there's that type of thing to consider, or anyone else in the front office that.
Thank God Aaron Glenn's black.
I'm just mentioning like that that might be something they factor in to a degree when they give up a third rounder because they might get one back eventually. I'm trying to think of, like, do we have anybody that's like Jonah Jackson's a potential free agent. If he signs for big money, they can get compensatory back that way too. So there's other ways to get third round draft picks back. If they did want to trade for a rental piece like Chase Young,
a third's pretty palatable for, you know, potentially high end guys. At this juncture of the season too, and we could get immediate, you know, help from them.
I just got to think Holmes is trying to scheme up something, whether it's going to work or not. I don't know, but, in the position they're in now, I mean, were there going to be serious contenders this year? I think he's got to be trying to pull something off here before the deadline.
I mean, yes, but, and remember Brad Holmes comes from the Rams who, literally, in their Super Bowl, said, like, fuck those first-round draft picks or whatever. Because they've been tossing them out the window for years now
trying
to get that one Super Bowl they eventually got. But
which it's still funny, though, too, because they totally discount the main thing that drove that entire engine, which was they hit really, really high on a first-round draft pick in Aaron Donald. Like, if you don't do that first. It all was for naught because he was the building block. He was the foundation. But, like, hey, I mean, that's one way to do it. It got him there. I think we can get there without, you know, burning down the whole building all the way.
I don't think Holmes will do that. I think these guys are playing for long-term, you know, being a long-term competitive team here. They're not going to sell it all the way for 1 year.
Nope. No way.
And I agree with that philosophy. I'd like to have a nice team here for many years to come, you know.
Yeah, so. Like to be like the Ravens, who are still just always competitive, or the Steelers, like just like be one of those perennial stalwarts that just everyone expects to be a contender. Just make it synonymous with Detroit Lions. Yeah,
wouldn't that be something?
It's what we're doing, you know.
I would like to win a Super Bowl. Don't get me wrong, though. I don't want to just be perennial contenders, but we got to slip a Super Bowl
or
two or
three
into that.
Got to win it. Hey, those teams all won Super Bowls. So.
Colton over here says, make an offer for Aaron Donald, ? We talked about that in podcast the other day.
Hey, I'd be open.
Sure, we can make an offer. I don't think they're going to accept it. Aaron Donald, I think, is pretty much going to retire there.
But you don't know unless you ask.
Like that could
I'm sure
be
he's
a,
had the conversation.
I mean, you could say there. What are they doing in terms of, like,
I don't know, 3-5
competitors?
So they're still in contention to make the playoffs.
I guess.
Stafford's got a bum hand right now, though, so that's a factor. I don't know. I just don't see Aaron Donald leaving. I mean, he said it. He could have left before and hasn't. So
yeah,
let's get Cooper Kupp then.
Yeah, why not? Let's just list all the people that we want.
Yeah, let's just say right.
I don't know, man. It's hard to say because I do think they might make a move, but it's going to be someone no one's talking about.
Well, I think Kendall Fuller is very realistic. The tickle rip here mentioned earlier. I think that's very realistic. Just a veteran cornerback, someone that can be a depth piece in the backfield, defensive backfield, that is.
Ooh.
So I think that's realistic. Jonathan Allen. That would be
Jonathan Allen and Kendall Fuller for Charles Harrison, a fourth.
Yes, this is what we brought up earlier. We talked about it.
Oh, I guess I didn't hear it. But now that actually does. That is exciting.
You're not going to get both those guys for a fourth. No way. You'd have to throw in
Charles Harris.
Oh, well, I don't.
Yeah, I don't see how Charles Harris gives any value to the Redskins.
Right. And it's not like he's being paid a high salary where it's like they're taking out a higher salary or something like that.
I guess he would keep him competitive this year, maybe. I don't know.
Yeah, maybe. But I mean, it doesn't replace the D tackle that they're giving away. So,
yeah. Well, I assume they're going to trade away their edge.
I'm just looking at the bottom feeders here, like the Cardinals. Do they have a piece they can go up? I couldn't think of any. The Panthers is an interesting one, and this was mentioned on our podcast before. Do Lions go all in on a Brian Burns type of trade? That would be fun.
That would be.
That would be
you want to talk about your fun trades, Rudd Dog? That's up there. The Bears. Neil Hunter's been brought up before, and you would not have thought that the Vikings, after winning four of their last five, would be talking about trading, but Kirk Cousins is out with his Achilles, so that kind of changes their whole season and probably takes him away from being contenders. So do they try to get something for Daniil Hunter while they can, or just right out of the season? I don't know.
Good question.
There's a lot of good things.
If we could get any of those guys.
there's a lot of fun here at the trade deadline. It's tomorrow, the 31st, at 4 o'clock Eastern, 3 o'clock Central. So stick to Twitter.
2 o'clock Pacific.
There'll be some moves. Derrick Henry, I think, is brought up before. It looks like he's staying put in Tennessee, which is kind of surprising to me.
Saquon Barkley.
He's not going anywhere.
He's not going, apparently.
I don't even want him because Jahmyr Gibbs is better.
I mean, my old Vikings buddy asked if Teddy Bridgewater is available for... I don't see the Lions trying to make their divisional opponent better by letting him go over there. So.
We should trade for Justin Field. And
why?
Let him play quarterback cuz
what?
He was supposed to be cuz he's an MVP candidate.
What are you talking about?
Cuz I remember he was the MVP candidate from the beginning of the season. He would be an upgrade over Goff.
Okay. What are you drinking over there?
The good stuff.
Anything else from this game?
It was a good, solid game.
Yeah, Laporta had a couple.
Oh, he had a nice game. Nice.
Yeah, he had a good game. Touchdown to Laporta was a great throw from Goff.
Oh, fantastic!
That's an elite throw. Good timing, just out of the reach of the linebacker. Well,
and then he dropped another maybe touchdown.
Yeah. It's funny.
Nah, he'd have been tackled.
Goff was 26-37, 272, and a touchdown. And it wasn't his best game. I wouldn't say it was his best game. I mean, he missed Raymond also on a big drag route.
Behind him on that one.
Yeah.
That was uncharacteristic on that miss there.
It was. But, I mean, even his not great game is still extremely solid. So.
Exactly. You know, and he did throw the ball away a lot when he got into trouble. And, you know, he would, you know, aside from that one boneheaded pick six, he had other chances where he could have done something stupid. The old Jared Goff might have. And instead, he just threw the ball away or, you know, lived to fight another down. And he's been much better at that. And, you know, a lot of credit to him for that, too. You know, he did. He was solid, though, overall. Very solid game.
You know, it was good to see Jerry Jacobs back, too.
Oh, yeah. Definitely.
He's really
an impact in this game.
He's a really good number two cornerback.
Here we go again. Yeah.
Yeah.
Certainly plays that role well for us because when he's not there, we struggle.
Well, yes, that's true. That I would agree with that. I mean, I don't want to see Will Harris out there.
No.
I like Will Harris,
which
like
is why they need a depth piece at the quarterback at the trade deadline. Even if it's like just
yes,
it's got to be some sort of depth piece.
Like, Will Harris is a nice like back end piece in the secondary, but like right. If he's your main starting one of your starting cornerbacks that game, you're puckering up a little bit.
Yeah,
definitely. Jack Campbell, I thought that was extremely dumb on the sack. You just can't go low in the NFL. I admit.
Well, you know what, though? He tripped as he's going through there, and he caught someone's leg and was going down.
Did he?
It wasn't like he.
I missed that.
Yeah, oh, absolutely.
I mean,
he was charging through there, and he caught the leg of one of the linemen or something, and he went down into – it wasn't like he did that on purpose.
So. I don't know what caused him to trip, but you can clearly see the trajectory of him. He's, like, running forward, and then all of a sudden his helmet – his head's going like straight down, but it's like he's falling. He's not.
Yeah.
Like I still think he might get a hefty fine for that, but like
I don't know about that.
It looks bad, but you can tell he's not trying to like dive into his leg. He just fell.
No, it just an unfortunate thing. That's all.
I'm just glad Garoppolo was okay. Cause that looked like it could have been nasty.
Yeah.
Yeah. But
the.
Yeah, Campbell.
He played a lot of snaps in this game, it looked like. And then you see him over Barnes, it seemed like a lot. I mean, Barnes did get in there. He seemed to be playing more in the second half. This is just my observation, but I don't know. It seemed like Campbell and Anzalone were the main two guys there today.
Wow. Anzalone's excellent. 71.4 possession pressure rate tonight by the Lions, according to Kid J. Most since 2018.
Dang.
Most by who? By the Lions since 2018 or most by anybody since 2018, Kid J?
By any team.
Wow.
And any team.
I mean, it makes sense. Yeah. Jimmy G is under pressure. I mean, that's as when you stand like a statue.
Yeah.
How many sacks did we end up having?
Six.
We
had six.
Six.
Only six?
Three on one possession. So.
But how fast is Anzalone, though?
Wait.
How about that one play where Garoppolo was running for the first down, and Anzalone flew all the way across the field and took him out a yard short from the first down, and a hard hit too, out of bounds.
The craziest part was how he literally flew. Like
he did, he flew
like Thor.
I don't think his feet touched the ground at all.
Yeah.
I think I saw his hammer like out in front.
Yeah,
Mjolnir.
No, I'm telling you, that guy has been impressive.
Yes,
really.
Two sacks, freaking.
You know, this is kind of weird talking about how all the good things about this team. Like, if you think about the years we've been doing this podcast, you know, and we used to just, you know, the bad things. And if we only had this, we have all this stuff now, and we're just like regaling it. It's kind of awesome.
Yeah. Right.
Enjoy this, people. This is really fun.
It's really fun.
Watching the Lions just easily dominate another football team in the NFL.
So, yeah. And so the Lions are on a bye next week. So we won't have a podcast probably the rest of the week unless there is some news on the trade front we want to podcast about tomorrow night. Otherwise, I mean, we're on a bye. It's a much needed bye with all the injuries. Then they travel to Los Angeles to take on the Chargers. Here's the rest of the schedule. At Los Angeles, home against Chicago, and then Green Bay on Thanksgiving. And then travel to New Orleans, then at Chicago, then home for Denver, then at Minnesota, at Dallas, then home against Minnesota again to end the season. And that's it. So the 2 months to go in this season.
Wow.
It's flying by.
Favorite of the schedule.
And well, yeah.
One team with a winning record on the schedule the rest of the way.
Favorable, yeah. Whatever. It's still a gauntlet. Like, look at what Denver just showed us against the Chiefs.
Yeah. Like, no games are given,
baby.
Yeah,
that's only favorable.
No, we're gonna dominate.
The Lions are
gonna
be favored in all those games except for one. The rest of the way, the Chargers one will be close. I doubt there's.
Well,
a
we're in
for that one too.
They're gonna get three for being the home.
Well, the Lions, especially the way the Lions have traveled this year, the Lions and. the Chargers, first of all, have the worst home field in all this football. And then second of all, the Lions have been traveling phenomenally well this year. So that'll be almost like a home game for the Lions, actually.
I got a question for you guys. Who are you most excited about or like hoping to get back after the bye week?
You mean, Frank Ragnow.
Ragnow for sure. Monty, I would love to see Monty back.
Do you have someone in mind?
Monty, that's a good one.
Oh, yeah. Definitely need Monty back.
Ragnow was hard. I didn't even think of Ragnow because I barely even noticed he was gone because this was the only game he was out and we won. We just won.
Jonah Jackson would be good to get back. What do you guys think of Sorzall tonight?
What about run game pretty good? CJ GJ.
He did a nice job.
Well, CJ GJ is not going to be back till like middle of the postseason if he returns at all.
Oh.
Right.
I mean, he's probably out for the year. Or sorry, CD Deuce, his new name he's changing to.
Apparently. Right, he changed his name.
Does anyone else start to get like the vibe that like maybe it's just okay if he takes a while to come back?
He must be really bored. He's changing his
name. I'm now. Saying that dude's a little seedy and I don't know.
Well, it's supposed to be his alter ego, but if he comes your name, then it's just your ego, right?
Yeah.
All right. Goodness. So
anyway,
I think we're going to wrap it up here. Well, I guess the last thing I want to mention, the Lions moved to 6-2. They're one game back of the Eagles for first place in the entire NFC. That having said that, the Seahawks are right behind them at 5-2. Atlanta's 4-4. They're the 4 seed right now. Dallas is 5-2. That's because the Falcons are leading their terrible division. Cowboys are the first wild card at 5-2. 49ers have dropped all the way to 6. And then you got the Vikings and Saints at 4-4 right behind. But
is there a chance James Houston will be back after the bye week?
Probably not the bye week, like the Chargers game. It'll probably be a week or two after that, I would imagine, or later in the season. I mean, he broke his ankle.
God, him coming back would be one of my ones. Because I still think, even though everyone's still ready to give up on him, that like
no one's ready to give up on him.
Excellent
Red Dog
re-addition at the end of the season.
You only say that because we're willing to trade him for some awesome player. At
giving up on
team.
Him.
Okay. That means we're giving up on him.
Et tu, Brute. That's what he would say if he saw you.
I love it when you talk French.
Yeah.
All right. There you have it.
On that note.
On that note, let's wrap it up here. So the Lions win 26-14 over the Raiders on Monday Night Football. But we want to thank Sideline Report for supporting the podcast. We want to thank our producer,
KJ.
Thanks, KJ, for producing the podcast, crushing it as always. We want we just want your thoughts on the game. Instagram at Drinking the Blue Kool-Aid, Twitter /X at Drinking Lions, and then Gmail. Drinking the Blue Kool-Aid at gmail.com. Send us your thoughts. Anything you want us to answer on air, voicemail. You can send a voice message to the email. It's possible. Play it on the air. So we'd love to see that. Otherwise, Spotify, Apple, or your podcast, please download, please subscribe, please leave a review. We greatly appreciate that. Or if you're watching us on YouTube, make sure you subscribe at the subscribe button down below. If you're listening to this from the podcast and want, interested in checking out the YouTube, it's just search at DTBK. That's Delta Tango Beta. What's K?
Kilo.
Or just type in Drinking a Blue Kool-Aid on YouTube. You'll find it on there. Subscribe so you get alerted anytime we go live. That's usually when we do it. Our YouTube things. So we do live stream usually after the game. This one's later, but we're dedicated. We're dedicated. We're here. We're here late, but that's all right because we love our Lions, and we love the 6-2 Lions team even more specifically. And it's going to be way different than the last 6-2 team I mentioned. back
better.
Oh,
2014. So
no Joe Lombardi here.
No, sir. No, we got Ben Johnson. Ben Johnson there and Glenn.
Benny.
And most importantly, Dan Campbell. Did you see the interview before the game?
Yeah.
They showed it twice, actually. The tearing up.
He's awesome.
I had to grab my hanky.
But he's...
Yeah, he's just... Campbell's the best, a special man. Guy. I'm telling you. He's the best.
It's hard to believe that he's the only... Like, this is the only team that interviewed him, but it's just meant to be.
Yep.
Shield I wonder how that Ford, interview man. Came to be. Like, who brought that up? Has that ever been said? Who brought it up?
Sheila and Spielman somehow got onto it.
I just found it interesting. Like, that was the only interview he did. I want to look into that more. We'll get into that more later. But, anyways, everybody have a great night. Thank you for listening to the podcast, or if you're on YouTube tonight and you watch, we appreciate that as well. Otherwise, if there's a big trade, we'll do a podcast. Otherwise, we'll probably be, you know, taking advantage of the buy ourselves this week and getting back to you early next week, previewing
by the
next game at the Los Angeles Chargers in SoFi Stadium in Los Angeles.
More like your buddy the dead Chargers from the Lions over there.
What? I don't understand a word he said. Doesn't matter. All right. Thank you, everybody, for listening. Thank you, everybody, for listening. We greatly appreciate it. And last but not least, as always, go!
Go! Lions!
Forward down the field, a charging team that will not yield. And when the blue and silver wave, stand and cheer the brave. Rock, rock, rock. Go hard, win the game. With honor, you will keep your fame. Down the field and gain a Lions victory.
Go!
Go.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful, fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99-cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.